Last presentation. Our next speaker is Marcelo Medel. He's the managing director of Duratrade. Marcelo is the managing director of Duratrade International. Since its inception in 2001, Duratrade has grown its international footprint to more than 30 countries and established offices and manufacturing facilities in several locations, including South Africa, Canada, China, and the U.S. After Marcelo speaks, Pablo Rossi will give the second half of the presentation. And Pablo is the Chief Technology Officer for Duratrade International. He has more than 25 years experience in both academia and industry, 15 of those years within the mining industry. Pablo is a dual citizen of Argentina and Australia, and he's worked in many other countries. So this international perspective gives him a deep appreciation of diversity in all its forms. Pablo earned a PhD from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology in Australia and a Bachelor of Science degree in Information Systems from National University of Technology, Argentina. Please welcome Marcelo Medel.
Thank you, Esteban. Just a little note, my name is Manuel Medel. My brother Marcelo lives in Australia, so I will take that as a compliment. Thank you, Steve. Well, we are officially the last presentation of the conference. I should say last but not least, and I sincerely thank you for staying actually until now. We came to this conference and we have really enjoyed Haulage this year. We came to Haulage to learn, and we have learned a lot actually. The last 48 hours, we have seen different types of presentation, extremely interesting, and showing all new approach and technologies that will show the mining of the future. So I don't know. It's like, if you allow me a little reflection, I could put it just in one word, like in one concept or one word, to summarize every presentation we've seen in the last 2 days, I would say that word would be transformation. I think there's a consensus, and we all agree that in the future of mining, the next 5-10 years, we will change completely the way we do business in our industry. Well, we are here, probably we've been in our business for 10, 20, 30 years, and certainly it's very, very excited to see that in very, very few years we will totally see a new models doing what we've been done for so many years. So, but certainly for our company, the big reflection also is to really ask ourselves if we are ready for that transformation. Because we can verbalize it, but at the same time, it's something that we need to approach like a big change. Mining has been facing other type of challenges in the last years, and certainly we see that we tend to be very difficult for industry like ours to go into those changes. For example, I don't know, the way we communicate the contribution of mining, for example, it's been a challenge for our industry for many decades, actually. And still the social perceptions or the political perception is something not as good as it should be, considering mining is the explanation of probably even our civilization today. We see, for example, we've been talking about gender balance and gender equality for several years. And if you allow me also, just a last reflection, is just to take a few seconds to see around, to your right, to our left, to the front. And when we talk about female talent, women talent, that I guess we all agree the same way with the future of mining, that the contribution of the women talent to different industries around the world and also mining is something that have explained a lot of success of many businesses around, also the leadership of women. But when we see actually how we achieve that balance, we see that we have a long way to go. So the conclusion to that is to really ask ourselves is if we do have the flexibility to adapt to a new way of doing business. And in that regard, it's something we need to see that to achieve the future of mining in terms of everything that we've seen these last 2 days, is that we have to make an extra effort because it seems that our industry is extremely conservative. We are very conservative, and probably we are way more conservative than we really think we are. I would like to start the presentation showing you how a mining truck and a shovel looked 100 years ago. This picture is from 100 years ago. And now I will show you 100 years later, with probably hundreds of billions of dollars of investments and business models being developed in our industry. And 100 years later, this is how a mining truck and a shovel look like. And probably, so you can see the comparison here. This is 100 years of quote-unquote evolution and innovation. I guess we all agree that, of course, the capacity and the size is different, but when it comes to the design and the way we picture or we structure or we think, how loading and haulage is done hasn't changed in 100 years. It's like thinking for a second that we would still be dressing like 100 years ago, or the cars we're driving, the way they look, would be like 100 years ago, or our phones would look like 100 years ago, well, even less than that. So that's why we believe in our company, we believe we have to make a tremendous effort to really rethink and to get out of the box and to change things the way we done, to actually resolve the challenges we do have in mining. Our company has been for more than 45 years designing and developing mining truck dump bodies. And we have worked for a long time trying to achieve all the operational challenges that the mining companies have around the world. We do realize that every mine is, as you know very well, is very different, very, very different, not only in terms of the way of doing it, the operation, the abrasion of the material, the temperatures, the roads, I mean, many, many different conditions. And so it's certainly not very easy to address like global challenges that needs local customized solutions. But in our company, that we've been working in the last 2 years to try to come up with a conclusion of what would be actually the global requirements and challenges that our customers around the world, we would define in a list of what are the requirements for a better loading when it comes to designing a dump body. So we implemented 2 years ago a task force to actually come to that conclusion. We work with our customers and our people and teams, Duratrade teams around the world, with our customers in Brabus in Australia, Cauchocue in Canada, Kazakhstan, ERG, Escondida, Chile, BHP company, the largest copper mine of the world. This is in Europe, in Switzerland. This is an electric truck, actually, a real electric car, truck. Kansanshi in Zambia, in Russia, and OT in Mongolia, and Goniela in Australia. For 2 years, we recollect data about what those customers will require. Every time we'll do the customized designs of the dump bodies for the fleets that were operating in those mines. And after recollecting and working in this task force for 2 years, we got to these conclusions about what are like the common factors or common operational challenges that our companies, our customers will require to design a mining truck dump body. And this is what we want to share with you today. Well, number one, as we all know, is the payload increasement, of course, the reduction of weight. This is now, again, talking about the how conservative we are. Dump bodies were standard bodies, like the way they used to be called, meaning the heavy bodies, until 1996. The lightweight bodies, meaning taking one layer out of the design and considering the density of the material that was being mined, that was just released, actually, for our company back in 1996. Until 1996, the bodies were all the same size, even if the density was in coal, average 1.3, copper 1.8, gold 2.3. With the same capacity of the truck, the size of the dump bodies until 1996 were the same size. Amazing to think about something like that today. Elimination of the carryback, especially when it comes to the fuel savings. Of course, resistance to abrasion, because that has to do with the life of the dump body. Load stability, maintenance cost, and safety involved in that maintenance, especially maintenance done on site. skilled labor in remote locations, loading impact, and loading noise. The last two actually is just at the beginning until several years ago was only in a few mines that were the concern of the loading impact and loading noise, but that is something that's been increasing for many reasons a lot. So in taking all those considerations that we've done in the design, we put together all the results that we've done in terms of the design that were delivered to different sites to see how the solution evolved to that. And we realized that one of the main factors that didn't allow us to resolve those operational issues have one common factor, even though it's very different when you see those 9 points in the list, and have to do with the fact that the body has been a steel box for too long. The fact that we have a steel floor, because of having a steel floor, especially the type of steel that is used in this type of products, have explained why we haven't been able to resolve all those operational issues for very long. So that's why the solution we came after many years and that we've been developing actually for some time now is a suspended dumb body. That is a design that completely eliminates the steel floor and goes to with a rubber mat on top of some polyester ropes, like with the effect of a hammock, goes on top of the track that with a frame that is manufactured. Suitable to the mat, and there is no contact between the mat, the rubber mat, and the frame of the track. As you can see, here, it's a steel frame. The under mat, those are the polyester ropes across, and the rubber wear mat with a special concept of the composition, and with a distance that is not touching the frame and is suspended with the track. Here you see another one with on top of it. This is an actual steel frame that, as you see here, what we realized and we learned that would be the solution for the issues was not the fact about covering a steel body with a rubber mat, actually, because that would not solve any of the issues that we saw in the list. It's the fact that it would be a rubber mat totally suspended to the system. Here you see the ropes are attached, the polyester ropes covered with a special rubber, anti-abrasion rubber, with casted suspension docks, and with those bolts there that are adjusted with an impact gun, and the rubber mat that goes on top of it, and with the distance with the frame. This design that was developed to address all the issues in this area, we're able to resolve the whole list of operational challenges we were facing, and if we go to that. We were able to increase the payload with the system, basically based on because when you replace the whole steel floor and the liners, not only the structural floor, also the 500 Renault liners on top, the whole reduction of that steel was able to allow us to decrease the weight of the body and increase the volume together with the fact of working with the size of the material and the density of the material to optimize the design for every dumb body. So releasing the steel floor from the design allows us to also increase heavily in around 20, depending on the mine, 20% the payload of the operation. Now the carryback. The carryback is something that not many mines, depending on how you look at it, but not many people is familiar with this, how critical carryback can be. All the operations that go, as we call it, like in the center of the globe or in the very north of the globe, face most of it situations with carryback. First, because of in the middle of the globe, because of the type of weather, the humidity, that is something that stick the material to the bodies. Or the same with very cold condition that will freeze or will have frozen materials in the dumb body. Or, for example, when you have coal mines with the presence of clay combined with rain, or some materials like nickel or bauxite from aluminium that will be sticky itself, that will stick in the body. The carry bag can be between 20 to 30 tons in every body. In this picture here is like 100 tons of carry bag in the pictures are shown there. But as you know very well, I mean the trucks can be only clean up once a day. Therefore, the loss of production is tremendously relevant. And also you have a situation with the fuel and emissions, because when the truck is, of course, driving empty truck, it's not really empty, and they have the whole carry back on top of it. Now, we were able to release and to resolve something that has been trying to be resolved for many years about the carry back, with different material, with the shapes of the body, with ceramic. The famous heated body, so Tolvas and Caliente, if you remember, the exhaust being connected to the beams that would make corrosion inside the structure. Now, the suspended dam body was able to totally resolve the carry back, not because of the rubber. Actually, if you put rubber on top of a steel body, probably would make it worse, actually, because of the friction of the rubber. What makes the solution of the carry back with a suspended system is because of the fact of being suspended, there is a little vibration by the time that when the truck is driving fully loaded, and that little that cannot be perceived by eyes or the vibrations doesn't allow for the material to get stuck with the floor, and that will resolve the case of the situation with the carry back, and that is why the specialist design is once again extremely popular in those sectors of mining operations. Now, there are situations have to do with balance and stability. Well, this picture is a little dramatic, of course, but the cone formation is another big issue that we face in mining. Not only because of probably sometimes the views of the operators, also with the type of shovels or excavators or loaders we are using. Actually, with the way you, especially with loaders. But also have to do with the shape of the dam body. In the case of a DuraTray, once again, because of the rounded shape and also the vibration that is produced during the hauling, it centralizes the cone and makes a more even and balanced formation of the load cone. Shock absorption. The shock absorption was one of the things that was not very considered very important or relevant in the last probably 10 years ago. But lately, it has become very, very, very relevant. Not for many reasons, actually. Starting from realizing that taking care of the truck life, we have discussed about extending the life of trucks for very, very long, actually. And we've been breaking records about how far a mining truck can go. It used to be 50,000, then 60, 70, and now we have operation with 100,000, 120,000 hours operating the mining trucks. But actually, when we think about what is really lasting 100,000 hours, and we think when we say it's the truck, actually it's not the truck, it's the chassis of the truck that is lasting that long. I mean, because every other part of the truck is being replaced, and not only replaced once, several times during the lifetimes of the mining truck. So what we really is a critical point about the extension of the life of a mining truck is the chassis. And the chassis, every time you have a load on top of you start putting constraint in the structure, and a fatigue is being built that can be measured these days through the years. Something similar that happened with the shovel dippers, actually, after a certain amount of millions of tons being done. So the absorption has to do with the life of the truck. Also, some minimal things, like you also have to be with tires. Tires also have to do with even some small things, like the back mirror. But most also have to do with, especially in some diamond mines in Canada, we are seeing, that have to do with the health of the operator, meaning about with the, especially the first drop, how it affects the comfort of the operators. And today, when we're talking about the mining of the future, that have to do about how can we make it really intelligent body and digital analysis predict, and that where the issues are not really the technology, the issues is about how we install something in an equipment in mining that have under extreme tough conditions, that we're able to sustain, I mean, the installation there. I have a consistent reading through the operation, considering like all the rocks, the impacts, the weather, and everything in mine site. So then when the shock absorption becomes important about taking care of the sensor, taking care of cameras and everything that is installed additionally today to make mining smarter. And then we have low the maintenance and safety. Here probably is the main difference between when we think about a design like a DuraTrace suspended dumb body, because as you all know, the maintenance of a steel body, something we know very well, depending if it's an overhaul or just a maintenance, it will go between 4 and 5 weeks to do the total overhaul. You need to remove all the steel and then of course put the new liners, the new liners on top of it. Not only it takes 4 weeks, it's a dangerous operation, especially on mine site when you don't have the infrastructure to do it, because for many reasons. First, if it's on mine site, we're doing it sometimes in altitude. And second, also you have the tension steel that can impact. When it comes to with DuraTrade, we have just one shift or two shifts to install the body. I'm going to go much faster because they're saying they have just 5 minutes. Thank you for letting me know. The noise reduction, this is a project in Australia, Molaven, that have a situation with the community. And we were able to resolve, of course, but because of the, especially the first law, it's not on the steel, it's on rubber. And now, and this is very important, the extreme, the low temperature. As you know, the liners of a mining dumb body is made of heat treated steel that below 20 degrees it loses their properties. So to finalize my part, if you have just 5 more minutes for my colleague Paolo to finish. I finish my part here just saying that something we do have learned is that we need to think out of the box to really resolve many issues that we have, and we need to adapt and be flexible in that regard. I pass you with my colleague and friend Pablo, and I just leave you with a 1 minute video to pass it to Pablo. Thank you for listening.
Design for us after, you know, custom and design lightweight bodies and then the suspended dumb bodies, what we call the smart tray. So based on our experience on tray design and so on, then we think that the next step in terms of optimizing productivity is the smart tray using, you know, all the technologies that we have seen in this conference and around, but applied to a mining environment. So we think that the smart tray will allow us to make decisions in that sense to design better trays, but also to the user. I mean, some big mines have amazing technology and infrastructure, but some of the small and medium miners and mines in developing countries, they don't have access to these technologies, so they could also benefit from this sort of technology at a small scale. So when we sort of thought about this, well, it's not only about the tray, but you know, the technology has to be appropriate. So computer and software are available in mines for a long time, but you know, mining environments are not easy, so they have to be designed properly. So we thought about something that is, you know, an open system, something that is plug and play, is flexible, it can be integrated to the existing OEMs and the existing infrastructure from the truck and so on. It has real time, but not only that, that it can also, you know, make decisions and record data in terms of, you know, context-aware situation and the history of the data. So the tray has its own onboard computer, and there are sensors, but also there is a big system in the back on the cloud with proper, you know, security implications, privacy, and design. So the data is protected, and there is access not only from the mine, but also from the corporate, or when people are traveling or working from home. So this is very important, and there are technology today that allow this to be done effectively and safely. So, well, there are many areas that we can want to monitor and check and so on. So I'll give you a few examples, and you can see some of them. And yeah, all of these are related because some of the presentation they mentioned, you know, things are related. So if we improve the tray design, that sort of improve payload, and that improves the fuel consumption per hour, and we reduce emissions per tons and things like that. So all those things are related. So we think so even though this could be different modules, they are related. So but some users may have like different needs and different views. So this is just quick some of the things that we can see, but also the user have access to that in real time. And this is just an example. There is many more data and things that you can see about this, and not only the wear of the tray, but also stresses, points where it happens and what time and things like that. Some other information is visual, not only in terms of data. So, you know, people want to see if there are uncrashable items and safely, you know, rather than stopping the truck and sending someone else up the truck to see this information. And yeah, so these are some examples. So the tray influences a lot the consumption of fuel, especially when there is carryback, but also when the payload is not inefficient, things like that. Timing is also critical in the tray design and information, because if the tray is too small or too heavy, you have to do more trips per hour to carry the same tons per day. And, well, this is some of the examples or a case study that we want to show briefly. So even though we have this technology, it's not just an idea. So we have implemented this, and it has been running in Australia and in Chile for over a year. And now we are looking at expanding this to North America, specifically starting in Canada. And, yeah, so thanks. Thanks for listening and for staying with us until the last presentation. And if you have any questions, let us know. Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo. Thank you, Manuel. Manuel, apologies for getting the name wrong. Right now, the new system's available now.
Yes.
The intelligent?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for our speaker? What about lead time for the trays? If we wanted to order 10 right now, how long would it take to get them?
That's a good question. It all depends on the truck model and the location of the mine, but on average, you could say that it's 12 weeks. Okay. It just depends on the quantity, location. You know how logistics are at the moment, supply chain, so it's on average 12 weeks.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so that concludes our presentations.
I want to get out in front of these speakers here. I need to get out in front of these speakers here so we don't get the feedback. We want to finish up with the giveaway that we had planned for the event. We had several people turn in cards.
The second place winner was Hugo Mendoza. And then our overall winner was Richard Hauser, mine engineer with Freeport. Tonight, stay here at the Elkhorn Keister. Yep. Thank you. Our goals this week was to provide an educational format, get together, networking, and also to have some fun. And I hope everybody found value in what we did. We're going to follow up later this week for those of you that registered for the event. I mean, the suppliers that exhibited, you'll get a list of the people who attended. You'll get the emails. And so if you weren't able to network with some of the MIND people, you can afterwards. We're going to hold this event. We hold this event every 2 years. So the next event will be in March 2025. Tim, do you want to say anything?
Not really. Just tomorrow morning, the workshop will start probably around 8:45. Give you an extra 15 minutes in bed, given that there's probably going to be hangovers tonight. And so we'll start 8:45 tomorrow. And then once that workshop is done, we'll finish by noon, and we'll give you an hour to grab some lunch. And then I believe we'll be heading to Tanaha at
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. And Steve and I will.
The bus is sold out.
Perfect.
So
those of you who are going to Naha, you know, you're at a loss tomorrow morning. You're very welcome. So if you haven't registered to go to the workshop, you can still come along. We'd be welcoming you in the room. We have some space to be able to do that. So we can accommodate those extra people that haven't registered. So please come along. There will be a continental breakfast first thing.
Right.
In the morning, I believe we're starting that at...
It's on the app,
right? And if it changes in the middle of the night, that's because Kristen has changed it in the middle of the night. But it'll be a light continental breakfast, and we'll get into everything starting around 8:45. And we will have you done by noon. And hopefully you'll find that piece of the conference rewarding as well. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Right. Okay. Tim has handouts for his workshop, so that's why we need to have a head count.
So we have, right now we have 40 to 50 printed up. So if people come in, then we're prepared to do an extra print right on the time. So don't worry, we'll make sure everyone has a copy of everything. And then those that attend the workshop, we'll make sure after the event, those that attend will get a color PDF version of everything. We're doing it in black and white, just so you have something to write on, because we know everyone likes to make notes during these things. But we'll make sure that those that attending get a color version. It will not be open to everyone. So you have to go to the workshop to get the materials. And the reason for that is I tell stories, and the slides make no sense without the stories. And I assure you, you will like the stories. And I won't pick on too many of you, but there will be some in the room that I will pick on. And they probably know who they are. So I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thank you. All right, this concludes our Hall of Fame 2023.
Steve, thank you. We have to get the exhibitors out of here. That's what we have to drink, so don't get the exhibitors out of here.
Steve?
We're going to get you to do this again. Now that you've got the suit.